episode 119 of the TV Dudes podcast, recorded February 9th, 2017. Brains and Brawn.
You guys miss eating pizza? You should try eating a guy who just ate pizza.
I was going to say, I ate pizza for the past three meals.
But did you eat a dude who ate a pizza?
Have you ate a guy who just ate a pizza?
Is this sexual? What are you guys saying to me?
This is your Santa Clarita pop quiz, Grant.
I did watch it. I did all of my homework this week, guys.
Yay.
I'm actually pretty proud of myself. I even went above and beyond. I watched more shows than you have, Randy.
You did. Well, you watched one more show than we were going to cover this week.
I was like, oh, yeah, I want to cover Legion this week. And you're like, I haven't watched it.
That'd have been
yet.
So good.
I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. Also, we had like a bunch of shows to talk about.
We did.
We do.
Oh, hey. So many shows.
Guys, we are talking about a ton of stuff this week. We are talking about the Santa Clarita Diet over on Netflix. We're talking about 24 Legacy, which debuted right after the Super Bowl. We were talking about Powerless over on NBC, the new DC television venture.
I was watching you try not to say pile of crap. I was watching you there trying to say.
I didn't. My tongue's bleeding, but
you
didn't.
But I see you're trying.
I thought venture was just a legit pun. I thought you like went for it. Sorry.
And APB, which is Kyle's new favorite television show of all time.
No lie, we haven't even talked about this, but yeah, I got good stuff to say.
Oh my god,
I kind of do too, to be honest.
Yeah,
you guys.
If for no
me.
Other reason, the all right, we'll talk about
we'll
it later.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
But anyway, we are the TV Dudes. I'm Grant.
I'm Randy,
and I'm Kyle.
And yeah, we're gonna be talking about all of that. But before we get into that, iTunes. That's a way that you guys can help us out. Go over to iTunes Store, give us a 5-star rating, write a review. It is free. It only takes like, you know, a couple minutes of your time. If that's a cost to you, then yes, I guess there's a cost involved. Sorry, that sounded like super mean all of a sudden. Yes, we're really putting you out there. Wah. Anyway, we really appreciate the support, and we actually got an iTunes review this week.
But Grant is really bitter anyway.
I'm so bitter. I guess I'm an asshole. This one comes from Cheesy23 out of Canada, who says, I came across this podcast a couple years ago and have enjoyed it ever since. The reason why is it's always fun to listen to you guys joke around and talk about TV. Also, it seems like they pretty much like everything that I like. Awesome. Perfect.
Yeah, thank you, and congratulations on your good TV taste.
Yeah. We only like the good stuff, folks. Except Kyle, who apparently likes TV.
Parts of it.
We'll get into all that.
It's got Andy.
Another good thing that you guys can do to help out our show is go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. There you guys can make a per episode pledge. Usually like, hey, give us $1 an episode, $2, $3, $5. $100 an episode if you really want to. No pressure. But if you guys want to give us like $1 an episode, that amounts to like $4 a month. And in exchange, we make these little bonus exclusive podcasts that you guys can listen to.
And last week we talked about drinking.
Yeah.
Actually, the week before that we talked about drinking. Last week we talked about being drunk.
Yeah, repercussions of drinking.
Yep. Later, the hangover episode.
And Les told one of my favorite drunk stories ever, actually. That was pretty great.
Pretty fantastic.
But Grant, once again, you're forgetting a third way that people can support us.
Hold up. Patreon.com/TV Dudes. Damn it, Randy. Fine. What's this third way?
You know, like those marches where people sponsor you? They like give you like $1.50 a mile.
March for Dimes or whatever.
I like that kind of thing.
Nice.
Or of Dimes.
Well, if you go to your neighbors and get them to support you, and I suggest not walking, I think river dance. For every 10 minutes you river dance, they will donate some money to our Patreon.
I mean, it would totally make sense if you were to say, like, binge watch television shows for money.
No.
Oh, shit.
River dance.
We should totally do a sponsored, like, hey, you guys, we're going to all try and raise money. We all have to binge watch TV, and every hour you binge watch, you make money
Grant,
for someone.
You realize what's going to happen here, don't you?
Dude, it's charity.
No, we're going to wind up watching Real Rob for charity.
For charity, Randy.
Yep.
Would it be awful if...
Gets a new leg.
Well, yeah, I was like, charities for children who can't walk, so we sit on the couch all day, raise money for them.
You said kid with a new leg.
You saved me by 2 seconds.
Yeah, so I guess there's three ways you guys can support us, and we appreciate all of your support. And I'm sorry, I got a little bit bitter about the iTunes. And before we move on, we would also like to give a little shout out to one of our sister shows on the Permanent Record Network.
Permanent Record.
I've gotten so used to you guys doing that now, I just kind of say Permanent Record.
Permanent Record.
I can't wait for you guys to do that. You guys are so happy.
We got to get our like timing right, yeah, you know, and just kind of ease into it.
Key and Clyde have been running this podcast, the This Is Us podcast. Yeah, they've been reviewing week by week the new, what is it,
NBC? Smash Hit NBC show.
Hallmark Original. Oh, sorry.
It is. It's a delightful little show about
no one but Milo, me on this podcast likes.
Milo Ventimigliano's butt.
I mean, I've honestly, I haven't watched it because I'm scared I will like it.
You probably would, dude.
I enjoyed it. But many people are enjoying it because it is like the big hit. It's already been renewed for season 2 and 3. And Key and Clyde are awesome, and you want to hear them talk about this show.
They are delightful. You guys can check them out at keyandclyde.com. That is K-E-I and C-L-Y-D-E.com. You can also find the links at Permanent Record on Facebook.
Permanent Record.
I'm trying to just breathe by that. And go ahead and check them out over on iTunes as well. But moving on, listener questions. So if you guys like us on Facebook, if you guys like us on Twitter, there you guys can ask us questions once a week. And we will try our best to try and answer whatever you guys want to ask. Usually it's TV related, which makes it a little bit easier for us. This week, we got a couple questions here. First one comes to us from Dennis McElwain, who says, "Hey dudes, what are your thoughts on fanboys going ape over an Easter egg that will probably lead nowhere? Example would be that description of Batman in Supergirl. That sort of thing drives me batty. What a zinger." I almost feel like Dennis asked this whole question just so he can make that pun.
I think that's fair, and I respect that. I definitely see a lot of this, especially in my day job at the comic shop, because people will take the little scraps of something they think might be something and spin it out into, oh well, this is definitely gonna be like a trilogy of movies next year about my favorite character, Slapstick. I do think there needs to be a recognition that sometimes the Easter eggs are just a fun nod to the fans.
Well, and the thing to remember about Easter eggs is they're only great, like, even if, you know, an Easter egg comes true or like that turns into the thing you think it's going to happen, like, then it's not cool anymore. Then it's just a thing that happened. Like, the Easter eggs are there so you have something to think about until that next thing comes out.
Yeah.
Are you saying that Howard the Duck isn't going to be the main character of Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
I would never say that.
But then after he becomes the main, like after when Samuel Jackson had that cameo at the end of the first Iron Man movie, everybody's like, no fucking way. But then now it's like, well, of course, it's Samuel, he's Nick Fury,
it's,
you know.
It's part of the
thing. We don't even think twice about it.
Yeah, that's
true. Back then it was like, what?
Yeah, it's cooler when it's a big shock, and then when it's just connective tissue, you're right, it's not as cool anymore.
So when Easter eggs don't come true, then they're always like that kind of cool fringe. So
I think this is a good argument. Easter eggs that don't come true are actually cooler.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're also called red herrings.
Yes. But that's, I mean, to use a specific example, the notion where she talks about like vigilantes being jerks and she's referring to Batman, it was a funny gag. I liked it. I love that kind of stuff. And the thing that can make me love it less is when like IO9 writes a 12-page article about how this means Batman is going to be in continuity next season.
I sort of love Easter eggs in that weird creepy way. I'm that guy that Dennis hates probably. There's this show called Lost. I don't know if you guys remember it. But I was one of those people that looked at the screenshots that people would put out and tried to investigate, like, wait a second, what's that little club right next to Jack? Is that a black club? Is that somehow alluding to him being like in some giant chess match? Is it a club? Like a Jack of clubs? Is that what's going on? Is this a card game? I don't know. Like reading way too much into it. I had a problem.
I'm familiar.
And I still do that with shows.
That's never happened in any other show you've watched that I can think of.
Leftovers, I go off the deep end. Game of Thrones,
Westworld. You know, a great show for this, and I say this is a great example because in Sherlock season two, I guess it was the was it the final decision or the final game? I forget the name of the episode, but they come back the next season, and the whole first episode is just how about everybody on the show is freaking out, trying to figure out how he did it, like and it was the same thing all the fans were doing the entire time waiting for Sherlock to come back. Like, how did he fake his death?
Anyway, I'm not self-reflective enough to think it's a problem. Shlomo Willick says, "Hey dudes, I'm a huge fan of your podcast. I love how you focus on smart, well-thought-out, top-quality shows. I wonder if you could give us a short 2-minute review of the smartest, most thought-provoking show ever on television."
This is definitely leading to a real Rob joke.
You think, right? That show, of course, is The Power Rangers. You know you love that show and that it deserves its own full show review, but maybe you could just give us a 2-minute quick review. Thanks for the shows.
So, Power Rangers dedicated podcast starting up next week?
Oh, man. I mean, I got to dust off my Rangers mask.
So here's my question. I'm the oldest guy in this room. That's not my question. I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
But did you guys watch Power Rangers?
I was of the age. I remember when it premiered. Yeah, I was there.
Here, I watched some of it.
I have seen like 5 minutes of Power Rangers in my life.
I've maybe seen like 5 or 10
Have you ever seen, this may be a bad example, but have you ever seen Dragon Ball Z?
Some of.
So the thing, Dragon Ball Z is the worst example of this, but I also haven't rewatched Power Rangers. Dragon Ball Z would take like 5 minutes worth of action and spread it out amongst 30 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
every show just ended with, come back tomorrow, kids, right after school. And Power Rangers was like that. It was like, come see the new monster tomorrow. Come see this.
But, well, it's made for kids. It seems like they picked up on a formula in the 70s with absurd costume design and really emphasizing action moves over like anything really of substance happening in most episodes, and that just kind of stuck. Like, I remember distinctly, I moved to San Francisco at the age of 12, and I started going to this new middle school, and all the kids were like, "Hey, do you want to play Power Rangers?" And this was the first time I've ever heard of it. I was like, sure, what do? We like, go around and like rescue animals in national parks? That was what I thought Power Rangers was. And they're like, no, we got to fight monsters. I'm like, okay, I don't understand these kind of park rangers, what they're doing here. But then I had to go home and like study and watch it a little bit just so I could, you know, hang out with the rest of the kids. I don't, like, even at that age, the show didn't really warm up to me.
Yep.
But it's got such a huge following.
It really does.
People are obsessed with it.
Well, then they're making the big movie. It's actually doing really well in the comics right now. The second issue of Justice League Power Rangers came out this week. And like I say, I've seen maybe 5 minutes of Power Rangers, but the Justice League Power Rangers comic is awesome. It's really fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That trailer for that new movie, I mean, it could go either way, but, you know, if it's done right, it looks pretty neat.
I'm getting a real Fantastic Four vibe off it. Yeah.
You're not getting a Chronicle-ish vibe?
Yeah, well.
I mean, for none of us necessarily being fans and having, like, really invested.
Sorry. I was a fan, like, no lie. Like, it was one of my shows back then. I was not downplaying that at all. Like, okay. No lie. Yeah. Granted, I stuck around for maybe the first three seasons. I stuck around through White Ranger. I think I checked out at Gold Ranger. They literally, every time they bring on a new character, they have a new, what was it? Zord, I think.
Yeah, Zords.
Like they're giant, like mech type thing. And then when you get a new one of those, then they're big, you know, Voltron type team up. That's a new thing.
See, because I used to watch Voltron, so I get it.
Very similar. Yeah. Well, then this Gold Ranger comes along, all right? He's just got a fucking pyramid. It's just a gold pyramid. He's like, here's my droid thing.
Did he do like the head? Did he do a lot of multi-level marketing?
Oh, yeah. It was like a big thing. Like, oh, shit. No, I see what you're saying. No, they did market. Like, it was like a buildup for that whole month. Like, who's this new ranger going to be? Look, this gold guy. Is that a pyramid? It's just a pyramid back there.
I'm just picturing the gold Power Ranger coming in. He's like Jordan Belfort in Hubble for Wall Street at the end. He's just
so
like,
are you thinking that this guy was used just to make money? like for toy lines? Do you think it was like a pyramid scheme?
That's where I was going. Yes.
I'll just really like hammer home heavily your joke there. Sorry. All right. Well, I was just going to say, obviously, there is huge staying power to this franchise. And even if it never like fully caught on for at least me and Randy,
yeah,
there's no avoiding how what a powerhouse it seems
to
be.
I'm just a little too old for it. But otherwise, it's got...
Well, I think it had the same thing that like G.I. Joe and Transformers had.
Yeah.
Where
that was my age. G.I. Joe and Transformers, I played.
Everything
right
you watch, you're like, I want to have the costume. Yeah. I want to have the action figure. I want to have the monster. I want to have all that stuff.
Dude, I could talk about G.I. Joe for a... I could do a G.I. Joe podcast.
But the thing all these have in common is they're TV shows that sell toys.
Yes.
Our next question comes to us from Mampers. Paul Mampilly says, any programs that you used to hate but got around to enjoying later on in life? Mine is Everyone Loves Raymond and The King of Queens.
No, I am always correct when I hate things.
Randy's always dead on. He knows what he hates.
Actually, it's funny. I saw this question earlier and I was trying to come up with an answer. And I can't think of something where I start out hating it and then wound up loving it. I can think of lots of things I thought I started out loving and then wound up hating.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a flip. For me, it's Sopranos. I could not get into that show initially. I was just like, it's mobsters and like everything is like muddy and brown looking in that show. And it just... I don't want to watch bad guys. I don't like it was, you know, before I was old enough to appreciate or whatever. And then suddenly it was like, holy shit, this show is really good.
You know, it's funny you say that because that was my reaction to Sopranos too. I watched opening episode of season 2, which probably wasn't the best way to start. And I was like, I don't get what all the hype is for this. And it wasn't until I went back that I enjoyed it. But that reminds me, the show that this happened with me on is Mad Men.
I was about to say that one, too. I totally forgot. We must have had the same conversation.
Yeah. I tried it. It took me like 4 goes to get into Mad Men. I kept trying. I couldn't get in. I was like, this is really slow. I'm not feeling it. The character stuff's good, but I just don't like it. And it wasn't until finally I pushed through to like season 2. I was like, oh, this is great. You just kind of need to give it a really long bit of runway before it takes off. What about you, Kyle?
I got a great answer for this. Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Because season 1, I'm like, oh, who's on this show? Aziz Ansari? Man, I wish he was still doing Human Giant. It's like Amy Poehler? Man, I wish he was still doing Upright Citizens Brigade. Yep. It's like Rob Lowe? Man, I wish he was still on West Wing. It's like, damn, Adam Scott, man, I wish he was still on Party Down. Like, fuck this show. Like, go back to all those good shows. And then I came back to it and I was like, oh no, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
This show's awesome. And yeah, now it's one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, and now we have its successor, Good Place.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So good. Which is so good.
All right, next question comes to us from Nick Dyes, who says, hey dudes, I let my friend use my HBO account. Didn't tell that on here. A person I know let my friend use their HBO account, is what he says, so that he and his mom could watch Game of Thrones together. Unfortunately, they have had a disagreement over their current political views. His mother has skipped ahead to season 5 while he is still on season 2. My friend has come to me to plot his revenge. Right before she starts the last episode of season 5, he wants me to change my HBO password, and then when she can't log in, he will whisper, "The Lannisters send their regards." Should I get involved in this insanely ironic meta plan? Also, what is the proper etiquette when watching a show with someone else?
Okay, first of all, this is another one. I love this question. First of all, I have to know in the scenario which one's the Trump voter. Because if his mom is the Trump voter, then absolutely fuck yes, you should do it. If he's the Trump voter, I kind of still think you should do it because that's an amazing plan.
Well, you don't
either
think
way, it's hilarious and you got to do it.
I was going to say maybe it's Game of Thrones politics. Maybe one of them's into like penis torture and the other one is like, nah, that's unjustified. And it's like, I can't watch with you anymore. We just, we
Game of Thrones
so
politics.
Much.
Yeah. They're like, they were Team Baratheon.
Exactly. Yeah.
Really into penis torture. Is that where you went?
He had it coming.
Oh, no.
But the other question,
the worst.
You have
the
to
important
do it.
This question. Yeah.
This is an amazing.
I'm like, how can you get some audio that we can play maybe on
now
a Patreon?
I want to see this as a sketch.
But the question is, what's the proper etiquette in watching a show with someone else? You guys probably both deal with this more. Do you save shows with your girlfriend?
It's kind of bad.
My wife doesn't watch TV. She doesn't really, she listens to podcasts. She doesn't watch TV.
But what about when you guys used to?
It's been a long time. We've never, like, I was always one introducing her to TV and movies.
Well, then you have no etiquette.
Let me ask you a question.
What's your etiquette?
Well, I was, let me ask you this. What's a show that you watch with your daughter that if you were out and she went and caught up on a couple episodes and you come in and she's in the middle of one, you'd be kind of ticked?
That's every show I've watched with my daughter.
Yeah, so you got a, you got your own version of that.
Yeah. She watched, we watched two episodes of Stranger Things together. She watched the rest of it.
Ooh.
We watched two or three episodes. I asked a person of interest, like, can you hold off on binging through this? Because she's a kid. She burns through things like crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to watch this too, and this will give me an excuse to watch it if you're watching it. She said, sure. We watched about three seasons that way, but it was too slow for her, and eventually she just watched the rest of it. So I've been on the other side of it, but I believe that my etiquette for me, if I were in this relationship where I was the one waiting, is you owe them that you lie that you haven't watched it yet, but you don't know them not watching it.
Ah.
Oh, so you have to sit there and suffer again?
Yep.
I actually dealt with this week because now I try to be strategic with the shows I binge for TV dudes. I like find ones she likes and then I'll wait and watch those with her.
Mm-hmm.
24 Legacy was one. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to save this, watch it Wednesday with her. Well, I was working on the computer and just texting with her, not paying as much attention as I probably should be to my text because she goes, oh, I'm going to go ahead and watch 24. So I get ready and I'm thinking, I'm like Mr. Chivalrous. Like, I got a little 24 date set up, you know, going to go catch up on the last of my TV. Oh, I already seen it. It's like, what? She's like, I'll watch it with you again. And it's like, but it defeats the purpose of the etiquette.
A TV relationship is very sacred.
Oh.
And I don't think that's a thing you should discount. Always be straightforward with them if you're going to watch it ahead of time.
So, and Grant, your wife listens to the podcast? Is that what you were telling me?
Shut up, Randy. This is how I always feel about this. I never go behind someone's back to watch this.
I think it's also a good time to mention, kids, be safe with your passwords. I mean, you know, you're just being young, frisky, you know, sharing passwords. Next thing you know, it's on every Roku and Apple TV device.
I heard you can get
city.
A virus like
yeah,
that.
He's right.
I mean, yeah, you just don't be the dirty one. Don't be the dirty one.
All right, last question comes to us from Zach McLernan. Oh, he's got a series of questions here. First one is, following the drop of the season 2 teaser of Stranger Things, what are your thoughts on what is shown in the premiere and for it being on Halloween? We're actually going to talk about this in our new segment.
Yeah, we'll talk about the new segment. Yeah.
All right. Well, okay, this next one I got to mention. Also, what were your thoughts on last week's Always Sunny? Hashtag RIP Bastet and hashtag Dennis Guilty, which I don't know if you guys got to catch last week's, but that was making Dennis a murderer.
Yeah.
It was a funny
mashup. Was pretty fun.
Yeah.
This whole season of Always Sunny has been great. Every episode's been fantastic.
With Charlie playing, what's his name?
Brendan.
Brendan.
Yes. That was slow, so good.
I was like, what is wrong with him that he sounds all weird? Oh, it's because he's been taking
the cat tranquilizer.
The cat tranquilizer. That's why his voice was like that. It was a pretty funny episode.
Yep.
This week's, oh man, I wish I could talk about this week's with you guys now. We're going to have to hold off probably until next week on that one. But it's really good.
Yeah.
It's really messed up.
Again, I say this all the time, but they're in their 12th season. This shouldn't be this good. For that matter, this is looking like one of their potential best seasons. That's crazy.
What season of TV Dudes are we on?
Season 100.
I think we're on 600. How old do you think we are?
I don't know. I just guess high. It's the Price is Right rules, right?
I think we're around season 6. We might be peaking. I don't know. We'll see.
Wrap it all up.
Yeah. It's all downhill from here.
So we got a little bit of news this week. Mostly there was this whole Super Bowl game.
Yeah. You didn't watch any of it?
No, I just watched.
Because the game was bug nuts, and it was a metaphor for our political system.
Well, that's the other weird thing. Like, the last Super Bowl I went to, because I'm a Broncos fan, I went to the Broncos Super Bowl from two years ago.
You went?
I went to a party. I went to a party.
I know what that means.
Yeah. I took my dad to a friend's Super Bowl party.
Gotcha.
Because we were both Broncos fans. And the Broncos, I don't know if you guys remember that Super Bowl, got their ass kicked relentlessly. It was awful. It was the worst game.
Yeah, fun game.
It was so terrible. Well, no, even whoever you were rooting for, it was such a boring game. Like, it was over in the first 5 minutes.
This one was
seemingly
over.
Last year's game was really exciting, and I didn't watch it, but I watched people talking about it. I'm like, oh my God, it went back and forth. You know, it was a football game. This year's game, I was like, okay, looks like another blowout. Looks like the Patriots getting their ass kicked, which good because fuck them and all the meta and Tom Brady sucks and all that kind of thing. And then I started watching the people were like, oh man, it's not over till it's over. And I'm like, no. Because they were down like 25 points.
30.
Yeah.
30 points.
30 unanswered points is what they put up.
At the first half, it was the biggest deficit. Or no team had ever won from that deficit before, yeah.
So, having not watched...
Greatest of all time. Go!
I haven't watched the game. But did you guys see during the halftime special? I know Lady Gaga was out there.
Oh, during halftime?
I know what you're going to talk about, though.
Halftime special, Lady Gaga was out there.
Yeah, that was also and awesome.
But do you know what else was out there?
There was somebody out there, someone, I don't know, Republican senator, someone saying that Lady Gaga was doing some kind of satanic ritual during the halftime show. And I think he got close. Because I think probably the Patriots sacrificed a goat. Not Tom Brady the goat, but an actual goat.
Yeah.
To make a deal with Satan to win that game.
Did you see the drones?
The drones were amazing.
The fucking drones. I'm like, she got the stars to move for her. Like, yeah, what the hell is going on up there? Like,
what did they put behind her? Like, did like some blackout sky with some little like speckle lights that they're doing, and then they did the end thing. I was like, I don't know how that works. I'm sure they're gonna explain it. Drones lined up with like
lights and choreographed.
Yeah. Oh, it's so amazing.
It's like I said somewhere, OK Go is going, fuck. That was our next move. That was our next one.
So cool. Yes, but I saw the game, saw the halftime. There were commercials.
There were commercials. And there were TV commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, Netflix put out an ad for a show that's not going to come out till October.
Worth it.
Strange Things 2.
I was surprised at how much it looks like they've shot and how much they've like rendered out, conceptualized for this not coming out until October.
Well, that's the thing. I think they probably decided, well, it's in Halloween. It's kind of a horror-y show in that it's, you know, just like...
Whoa, it's what kind of show?
Horror-y.
Oh, horror-y.
So do you think that this new release date is going to improve the cosplayers next Halloween or detract from them?
Detract, because they won't know. They won't...
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Because as a former, you know, Stranger Things cosplayer, I think you're thinking,
your 11 was pretty fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I made my girlfriend a custom Eggo purse for 11 costume. And then I went as the sheriff. No,
you actually went as the sheriff in 11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not know this.
You didn't know this?
Nope.
No lie.
He had
a
great costume. Oh, that's fantastic. He was Officer Hooper.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were doing a bit.
Hopper.
Dude, I paid some guy on Etsy to make me like the Hawkins police sheriff badge. Like, I went all out this year.
Damn, I thought you were doing a bit.
No, yeah. I mean, I'm mostly doing a bit, so good call on that. But this was a legit one.
I need to see some pictures.
I'll show you right after this. But no, I think that... Well, I'm thinking maybe if they hype it all month, which they're probably going to do, we might see some extra cosplayers this year.
We might.
Like the kids in the Ghostbusters.
The Ghostbusters costumes, that's such a great nod, because of course these kids would be obsessed with Ghostbusters in 84.
I saw some people doing like analysis of the trailer, and they had like a little circle over the name badge.
See, I don't want to go
the one kid Dustin's wearing on his costume, but I didn't see what it said.
Well, the thing...
Easter eggs.
I don't want to go too deep into it. I don't like Zapruder-ing a trailer. I don't like to do it.
Really? Because we even see this, like, they show out in the distance with red lightning striking in the superstorm. A creature kind of shadowed all Cthulhu-like or whatever. Yeah. What was that, Randy?
I don't know.
Come on, Randy. Was that the Tesla Hydra or whatever the fuck?
No, I don't know. Here's the thing. Stranger Things was a complete surprise to me, and I want the new Stranger Things to be as close as I can manage.
No, bullshit, dude. We review TV news, so you don't get that luxury of being all surprised by everything.
What I think is cool is that Stranger Things was this perfect distillation of everything 80s, and to do a sequel or something like that, the sequels in the 80s were like, I mean, this is 90s a little bit, but Terminator 2 and Alien. So like, you got to up your game for a
sequel. Ghostbusters 2. They got to be good.
No, no.
Did you not like the second Ghostbusters?
Nobody likes
second
Ghostbusters.
You know what I'm finding out?
What's that?
Anyone that's like a little older than me did not like the second Ghostbusters.
Wait, you know who's, the second Ghostbusters? You know who's younger than you at this table? The other guy liked the second Ghostbusters.
Right? What the hell? What is wrong with you?
You're lifting me higher. Oh, we both sang two different songs.
I know, but they're both good.
Yeah. But come on, it was so good. This, the secret of the ooze. It's just like how much better the second Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie was. With Reptar and Cringar, whatever the fuck the rat and the turtle's names
were. It was like how good Matrix 2 was compared to the first Matrix.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Wait.
There was no second
one. I left before the end. Did it not have a good ending? The first half of that movie was pretty cool.
That's right, dude. All right, all right.
Anyway, the whole pitch seems to be the first season of Stranger Things was them going to the Upside Down. Uh-huh. This seems to be the Upside Down coming to them.
Yeah.
That's a great reversal.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Man. It's gonna be cool, and monsters. Bring it on!
Yep.
And 11, a lot of weight on her shoulders. She's like the only superhero in town.
What if she spends the entire season just eating Eggos alone in the Upside Down?
That will be a disappointing season. I don't think they'll do that. But man, just hearing the music again played by Survive.
Yeah, the music's so good,
so awesome.
Yeah, there was also a trailer that was not on the Super Bowl, but it came out the day after, I think. And that's the Iron Fist trailer.
Mm.
The first full trailer for Netflix's Iron Fist, which we just watched.
We rewatched it, yeah.
What'd you guys think?
Really? Well, there was stuff in it I liked.
Yeah?
That's going to be the theme for the evening. They had stuff I liked. No, it's they definitely go on a different route than I thought with it.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing that all these Marvel shows seem to be doing. And Daredevil, you know, thankfully didn't do this really as much. Like Daredevil, its first trailer that it dropped before the show came out,
yeah,
had him in his black costume. It has him going down that hallway, beating people's asses.
Yeah.
He's already Daredevil. He's working on his costume. And, you know, it's a little bit origin story, but and I guess we didn't really get his costume till the end, did we?
We didn't. And that was a big complaint.
Well, and they just do that with every.
Well, with Daredevil, I feel like whether or not they were like a big, you know, tier, like top tier, you know, Fisk level villain. Every episode was about an awesome villain.
Yeah.
In that first season. And then you start the second season, you introduce Punisher. You're like, oh, here's a great villain story. And then it's like after that, they were just like, oh, we got the heroes. We don't need villains anymore.
Yeah. I still think Jessica Jones is the best of the Netflix shows. But I also think because the aesthetic of the Netflix shows is they are doing what DC wants to be doing with their movies. They want it to be
you
grounded.
Think Jessica Jones is the best one?
Absolutely.
Better than the first season of Daredevil?
Yep, I do.
Oh, you're wrong.
I think it might be a little apples and oranges on those two, because I definitely see what it is about Jessica Jones that makes... Because story-wise, yeah, like, it kind of messes with your mind in a way that that first season of Daredevil didn't.
Yeah. But that pacing was god-awful.
And the pacing was a problem gritty. With all of it. Like, it might be the grittiest, easily the grittiest, like, superhero TV show, yeah. But I mean, I'd definitely put up with some, like, these gritty superhero movies I've seen.
See, I think that's what's going on, is that this is, Marvel Cinematic does a certain thing. Marvel Netflix is doing a different thing, which feels more like the DC movies. It's like this is more grounded, it's more gritty, it's darker, but
there's still embarrassment about it.
That's the thing that bothers me. Like, Iron Fist costume is not hard. He has his costume is and it would not look bad. It would look badass.
Also, can I tell you something? No lie. You're going to think I'm making this up. Mm-hmm. This is another, I swear to God. I wanted to go as Iron Fist this year so bad because I wanted to do the Adidas jumpsuit costume.
Yeah.
You know, Adidas doesn't make a jumpsuit in that color.
I know. It's crazy.
I'm like, what the hell is going on? And like, it's hard to find a knockoff. I was going to have to make my own.
Can I tell you what one of your problems might have been doing an Iron Fist costume?
Go for it.
Iron Fist can't have a beard, which brings me to my next point. Why does he have a beard the whole time?
Oh, I could go as Iron Fist next Halloween.
He doesn't look like Iron Fist to me. And the Iron Fist looks cheesy and boring. Like the Iron Fist should look like this energy ball of death. And it doesn't look cool.
I like the little glow effect that's
it's
going on there.
Okay. As long as he discovers a real Iron Fist before the end of the show.
I mean, yeah, it wasn't like super exciting when it first happens.
I
liked kind of some of the music going on in the trailer, but all the scenes, they like, you could take this and put it with all the other shows that so far they put out from Netflix, the Marvel ones, and they all look the same in a bad way.
The opening was my favorite part of the trailer. When he comes in, he's kind of clueless and naive, and he's like, hey, I'm Danny Rand, I've been gone a while. Security tries to escort him out, I think he's crazy, and he goes into kung fu mode.
Yeah.
Like, that whole thing, I was like, oh, that's cool. And then the rest of the trailer, I was like, didn't do much for me.
Show us the costume. Quit being embarrassed about the costume.
Show us
the costume. Guys.
And show us. This is the thing that Mark Bernardin, the guy who does Fat Man on Batman, who's a guy of Variety, been worked at Variety and EW and all that kind of stuff, he made a really good point, and I thought it was, this is just really gets to the heart of it, which is you're telling me this is the best martial artist in the Marvel Universe. That's a bar you got to clear.
Yeah.
None of this was like super impressive martial arts. If you're showing me the best martial artist in the Marvel Universe, I want to see some badass martial arts.
Some crouching tiger.
And we know they're capable of it because that fight scene, that fight scene in the hallway of Daredevil in season one is a great fight scene. It's not martial arts. It's boxing slog type thing.
It's just a brawl.
But they can do badass action scenes. So where was my badass action scene for the trailer? Maybe they're saving it. And ultimately, this sounds really negative. I mean, I do think ultimately I'm going to wind up liking this show, and I think we all will to some degree.
It'll be okay.
But I want to love one of their shows, and it's been a while.
We're not talking about this show, of course, until next week, Legion over on FX.
Yeah.
But that show is by far the best superhero show I have seen on television.
That's because he's got Noah Hawley.
Yeah. It takes it to a different level, but the degree of embarrassment that, like, I thought Marvel wouldn't be so embarrassed once they're on Netflix, and they still seem to be. They seem to be hesitant to kind of want the crazy colors. They want to go this Bryan Singer route with stuff, and I'm like, no, I don't want everyone wearing black and leather and stealth mode, whatever shit. I don't need that. I need the bright colors.
Yep.
I need the joy of it.
There's some Bryan Singer outfits on Santa Clarita Diaries this week.
Oh, yeah, those were great.
Yeah.
By the way, Grant, it is weird to me that you're the one making this argument. I'm usually the guy arguing with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and you're the guy who likes more realistic stuff.
I like a justification for a costume. Yeah. This was the difference that we had in a different argument.
Yep.
I want just a line or two dedicated to explaining why someone got to that point, why they're able to make that costume.
But the dude coming back from Kunlun with a new tattoo and who's been studying martial arts and this crazy thing, that would make a lot of sense if he came back with a costume that he was wearing when he was, I mean, because it's martial arts key, basically.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That'd be fine. Yeah. It's a dope costume.
Yeah, it's a great costume. It's a shame. Yeah. One last bit of news. Every bit as exciting as the Iron Fist news.
Where do we go from there?
So I don't know if you guys know this, but apparently American Idol isn't on the air anymore.
Oh, it is?
Oh, yeah. I remember when they got canceled.
I didn't remember that.
Oh. Rejoice.
So it's been like a couple years now, right?
Less than a year.
Actually, no. I think it was last year.
Less than a year after American Idol, and it's 15-season run on Fox. The singing reality series is eyeing a comeback on NBC.
Oh, give me a break.
There's no deal in place. This probably isn't going anywhere, but good Lord.
Nobody, on NBC?
Nobody wants American Idol back, right?
NBC, why are you so sad?
Doesn't
and
NBC
desperate?
Have The Voice?
Yeah.
They'd do two,
why
two song
American
shows?
Idol? Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. They're just pathetic.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go ahead and take a break here so we can talk about another show that NBC released and why they're just so pathetic. You guys ready to bitch about NBC?
Man, I still want to hold out hope. I'm going to watch another episode or two.
Of what?
Powerless. Because this should have worked. Alan Tudyk as Bruce Wayne's snotty cousin. Vanessa Hudgens is cute and funny. Ron Funches and Danny Pudi as the lab techs. There is no reason this
actually
shouldn't have worked.
I know the linchpin. Or is that the word that you use?
Linchpin.
I know the Achilles heel to this show.
Yep.
And it is Vanessa Hudgens. Cause you're right. She's so cute, you know?
Yeah.
But she's no Joel McHale, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I started thinking about her character, like, what if it was somebody you could believe, like, really kind of tricked her way to getting in there and isn't supposed to be there, and you can set up some, like, drama there.
Oh, man,
and
you're still right.
But it's like, you watch her, and it's like, oh, no, I'm here to host the show, so everyone.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. Her good girl earnestness may be what's dragging the show down.
I don't think that's it. Okay, real quick, for anyone who doesn't know about this show, the premise is that this is a little lab facility that tries to help people.
Wayne Securities.
Yeah, Wayne Securities. It tries to make devices that help people suffer from superhero world.
Like the Joker antitoxin.
Their big success, the Joker
now
antitoxin.
In Sangria.
It just feels like what they should have done was watch Better Off Ted and just superheroify everything that was going on there.
Here's the sad part. I feel like that is what they did. But they did it poorly. Here's the other thing. This was not the original show. It's been modified heavily. Like, originally it was going to be about an insurance agency set in the DC universe that dealt with like superhero fallout. And they tweaked it heavily. Like, the whole Wayne connection, all that is added in. Mm. So they definitely like tweaked things as they were going along. And that's never a good sign.
So here's what my problem was.
Yep.
So, yeah, we have this girl come in, and Vanessa Hudgens, and she's there to take over as project manager or whatever for all this team.
Yep.
Like, help them kind of, you know, launch products that actually are effective and help people in the community. The problem is that when she comes in, she's, you know, optimistic, and everyone is an asshole. Everyone.
Yeah.
Like, everyone is the same character that's an asshole.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no real nuance. There's the one lady who's like trying to be kind of smiley and like happy that she's an asshole.
Yep.
And the guy who's just like, they're all the same.
You know what's interesting about that? You're absolutely right. And that makes for awful TV. But in real life, like companies like this, where they have a cult of personality, where you've got Bruce Wayne's cousin, who's kind of a laid back cavalier dude, like everybody would have that attitude, kind of smugness.
Yeah. They just need to play. They need to play different notes so that they play off of each
Exactly.
Other.
I totally get your point.
There needs to be the meek, awkward guy. That should have been Danny Pudi. That's his bread and butter.
Yeah.
There should have been the guy who's like too cool for school. Then there should have been the just like off-putting bitch, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, have them all kind of really play off of each other so that there's that chemistry that harmonizes when wacky things happen. Instead, it's all same note. And nothing is funny. I watched this dead-faced and with twinges of anger. That it was just like, can you guys fuck this up?
Why are you wasting my time? I was comparing it in my head to Community. Not just because of Danny Pudi, because I remember... Yeah.
Because of Danny Pudi.
Because I remember Community was a show... I had no particular interest in Community. I knew who Dan Harmon was at the time. And I was like, a show about Community College, this is going to be terrible. But then the buzz started being good. I didn't know who any of those actors were. I didn't really watch the, you know, Talk Soup or The Soup or whatever. I didn't really know much about it. I knew Chevy Chase was in it, and I knew it had been a while since he made anything good. So I'm like, this is probably not going to be good. And I watched it, and it's a great pilot. It sets everything up. Even though everything really isn't in place yet, it's a good pilot. This was a weak-ass pilot.
Wait.
And it wore its... I mean, the whole thing, like, there's no big twist. Like, you can see every development coming miles away.
When she's holding up her device that tells like so many times, I'm like, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Fuck you lazy ass writers.
And here's the biggest sin this commits to me is wasting a good cast. Christina Kirk played the boss on A to Z.
Yeah.
I love her, and she's wasted here as
she
didn't
do anything.
As like the boss's secretary. Jenny Pearson, who I don't really know, but who does a lot of comedy, she was really funny as sort of the bitchy girl in the lab.
Not funny to me at all.
I don't think there's nothing was funny to them except that I saw where they could have been funny with better material.
Yeah.
Danny Pudi and Ron Funches together, the two of them as engineers, that should be hilarious.
Should be.
But the writing is terrible.
Yeah.
And here's another thing that bugs me, and this is a minor thing compared to what a trash heap this show is, but you have DC Comics backing you. You have access to their entire library of, like, even just their D-list characters. And you make up a lame-ass villain named Jack-O-Lantern? Like, and you use...
So these weren't...
The hero they used is Crimson Fox, and she is a, like, French heroine from Justice League Europe who does not have those powers and is nothing like this. I'm like, why bother? Just either go in and make your own stupid original characters.
Apparently they could use Wayne Enterprises and have a spinoff of that so that it exists.
And reference the Joker. I mean,
that the close of this episode is, man, wouldn't that be cool to be making gadgets for Batman?
Yeah.
Because they find out, yeah, that's the big stinger at the end.
So heavy handed and cornball.
Here is the only ray of sunshine I will offer for this show, which I suspect will be canceled long before it becomes an issue. Comedies don't always find their feet in the first season. And pilots for comedies are tough. So it is possible with all this talent that someone will figure out how to write an interesting show because the premise is interesting.
It could be that everyone has to recalibrate and figure out how they play off of each other. And yeah, I get that.
But if I were a betting man, I would not put money on this show surviving to like six episodes.
I'm not going to watch another episode. I was insulted by it.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. I remember when I watched recently NBC Superstore, which is another show that I thought this is going to be terrible, but it's got America Ferrera and it's got Ben.
And it was kind of cute.
And it's kind of cute and it's fun. It's not on my regular watch list.
It's not A to Z. I love that one a lot more.
But it's a solid comedy. It's a solid ensemble comedy.
Yeah.
Powerless is the opposite of that.
Yes.
Well, you know how like shows sometimes will like in the middle of their season do an episode that just focuses on two characters?
Mm-hmm.
Powerless, your second episode, just focus on Ron Funches and Danny Pudi. And just do that. Yeah, yeah. Just get it out of the way early on in the season.
Yeah.
They had such a template with Better Off Ted.
Yeah, they really did.
Hey, by the way, everyone, go watch Better Off Ted.
Go watch Better Off Ted. Which, by the way, is created by the guy who made the Santa Clarita Diet we'll be talking about in a little bit.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, interesting.
Ah, okay. Well, let's go ahead and move on to APB. This is a new action police thriller. On
bang, bang.
Not thriller. It's just action. Stupid
procedural.
Action.
Shoot 'em up.
On Fox. And this is basically, hey, what if we took Iron Man and had him instead buy a police department and use all of his tech gizmos to make... This is so fucking Iron Man that they even started off with him appealing to people with weapons like from the Middle East, and then him in a car driving away from there, they stop and his buddy gets hurt in some action. It just felt like such a ripoff, and it's like just a less charming Iron Man.
I'm listening.
You're not wrong. I mean, you 100% described it. It is, what if Tony Stark bought a police department? That is that is 100% the pitch. However, where you hated it, I think Kyle and I both kind of liked it.
Yeah, I kind of liked it.
And here's the thing. It's all Justin Kirk. Yeah. I love this guy. I've watched him on Weeds. I liked him on Modern Family. And him playing a low rent Tony Stark really works for me.
Well, and you know what, the pilot, and here's the thing, I may only like the one episode. I'm totally coming to grips with that. Yeah. But here's why the pilot is going to be something that, if you haven't watched it yet, you're going to really enjoy it. If you've ever been in a situation where you were just totally surprised at how, and I love police, my cousin's a cop, I think they do a great job. But if you were ever in a situation where like the cops just did not work for you, which I have been in several, you will watch the show and you'll get like that, oh, hell yeah. Like, what if the cops could instantly respond when you're in trouble instead of showing up 2 hours later?
Well, what I liked about this, what I think the show, the interesting territory could expand on, is it's like, this is where the RoboCop world starts. Like, the cops have this body armor, they got these taser weapons, they got these armored cars, they've got, you know, this is all the stuff that leads up to, like, the interesting stuff about Minority Report and Almost Human and future cops.
Like, where the power is like a little bit too much?
Well, no, but also just like the notion of like technology and more modern stuff being applied to the cops. And that's an interesting story. And if they did something like what Person of Interest did, where it starts off as kind of a procedural thing, but becomes sort of an arc about technology changing the world, that's an interesting show. And I don't think that's where they're going with it. I think it's going to be technology solves a problem every week.
I feel like they should have just called this Drone Cop.
Drone Cop.
Where the drone just goes around and just shoots anyone that's a
drone
threat
cop.
And just like electrifies them. And then they just need other people to go pick up the people that have been tased.
But because of all the implications of, oh, what this technology really would look like and what would this actually do? And then the ending of the first episode does sort of touch on it. Like, oh, all of a sudden everybody wants this.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do about it? I'm going to give it a second episode, which is not what I was expecting to say.
Well, and you know, another aspect, place where they're probably not going to go, because it's Fox. Fox has a formula.
Yeah.
You want to tune in at the end of the episode. That's not by accident. But no, like, funding for all this.
Yeah.
Because he's putting it out of his own pocket. He's going to go bankrupt eventually.
Yeah.
Then it's like, now the people are used to it. Who pays for it at this point?
Right. And I did like him strong-arming the mayor, by the way.
That was a pretty good one. Yeah. Yeah.
I like this.
You also like Billions. That was a Billions moment.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't expect to like this at all. I expected to sort of slog through it and maybe even turn it off halfway through. And as it turned out, I was like, you know what? This is solidly produced. It's slick looking. And I like Justin Kirk. So I'll give it a second episode.
I'll say this without even the slightest hint of irony. It's no Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
But I like it.
Yeah. And I'm not watching Lethal Weapon anymore either. It's going to fall into that. I don't have time for this box, probably.
Here's the thing, though. I think it's still good. Like,
it is good.
I still think they're developing... Lethal Weapon, different show. But yeah. Fox.
There's so much good television on. I don't see why I would ever dedicate another episode to what is just a tired new twist on a tired genre. I don't know. I don't really care about it.
Well, and if they do that same trick, or second episode, that'll be my exit. But
yeah, that'll
I'll
be
watch
for me
that
too.
Episode one more time.
That's exactly rehashed. What it is. I want to give them a chance to show
How
me their
are they not going to fall into formula here?
It's possible.
It's
like
Fox.
I say, Person of Interest is the place to look, because Person of Interest is on CBS.
That took a season before they started doing that, and you guys would have already dropped off.
That's true.
They're not going to give this a season to figure it out.
Exactly.
This show is like three episodes to figure it out.
Look back to Almost Human. I loved Almost Human. And I feel like Fox, you know, there's potential for them to do something that's not just procedural.
Almost Human would be interesting. Almost Human looked better, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, this just has that dusty quality to it, too.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't know. I liked it better than I expected to, but I'm certainly not going to say it was the best thing in the world.
Well, let's move over to 24 Legacy. This came on right after the Super Bowl. I watched it right then and there.
Did you?
Yeah, I don't know about you guys.
Were you big 24, the original fan?
I loved the first few seasons. It was a lot of fun.
It's too bad Greg isn't here, because Greg loved 24 like as much as he loved The Wire. Like, he rewatched 24 over and over.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was a bit much.
He loved 24. I'm close to that. Like, I didn't watch all the way to the end. I think I missed the last couple seasons. But I went back for Live Another Day.
Oh, yeah,
and
too.
And I loved the, like, about season 2 through 4. I love 24.
However, you know, I love season 1.
I love season 1, but season 2 is really where it kicked in.
Yeah, I've never seen an episode.
Really?
This was my first introduction to anything 24.
And the thing is, I think it still works. Like, you don't need to know anything 24.
Oh, yeah. The format is solid. That's the first thing you get from this show.
They spend all their time honing it. So, you know, like, there's going to be a traitor. There's going to be...
It's classic 24,
It's classic 24. Now, the issue I have, and I've seen the think piece, you made fun of me online already about this already, but I'm going to bring it up.
Before we even discuss the rest of the show?
Yes, because most of my review is going to be extremely positive. I'm going to keep watching it. I really like 24, and this is a return to form. However, 24 has a famous right-wing pedigree, and we live in a world where the president is making decisions based on fiction that he makes up.
So the
notion of him and his supporters looking at this and getting confirmation that, oh, look, there are secret Muslims everywhere, including Lolita children in high school. It sends a bad cultural message, man.
I was like, please tell me they're not going this route. And then when you find out about that high school girl, you're like, this has got to be this right now. This has to be irresponsible filmmaking.
Because
there's high school kids that aren't listening to our podcast. They should be.
Yes.
But they're watching 24 and then they're going and locking that girl with the brown skin in the bathroom at the school the next day.
Exactly. People are not great at telling the difference between fiction and reality. And the difference between seeing a show you watched on Fox or a show you watched on Fox News is not that clear to a lot of people.
I really don't like this argument. I understand that our current president is a buffoon and a dangerous one.
Do you understand that 60 million people voted for him?
The argument you guys are making is that violence in video games makes for violent people. I don't agree with this premise.
Well, no,
I don't think that it's ever borne any merit, and I think that people for the most part can separate fact from fiction.
Oh, I don't think that's true.
I think it's different. Well, it's you do have a really good argument, but it's like when TBS would play Fight Club, but they wouldn't show the end after 9/11, and people quit. Like, they took, you know, burning buildings out of there. I feel like, and this is a different situation, but I feel like right now it's a really hot issue. Like, people are scared because of some of the rhetoric that's thrown around by you know, the president and a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
And that fear creates an emotion inside of them. And then they turn on the television and then that they validate that emotion. Then who knows what they do next? Hopefully they're good people and they do nothing.
I just wanted to address this by way of saying that if someone doesn't like 24 for this reason, I totally get it.
Yes.
I think it's a reasonable thing. I think it's reasonable to even say this is dangerous. You shouldn't be doing it. However, let me devil's advocate my own argument.
Okay.
24 started right after 9/11. Mm-hmm. Like they had filmed it. They had to refilm it because it involved like a plane blowing up in midair. They had to refilm some stuff because it was too close to what had happened on 9/11. Like this, we were as raw as a country as we've ever been. Mm. And they put out the original 24. So this is not unusual territory for them to be in either.
I mean, it's always been like this jingoistic right-wing fantasy.
It always has. The problem is, like I say, we now know like that, that some of the guys in the government, in Bush's government, were using 24 to say that torture worked.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're sending...
Is this you devil advocating your own...
No, I'm back to arguing again. They let him watch like halfway through a season and then they didn't tell him what happened after that?
Yeah, because...
I gotta know how it finishes.
Because torture always works in 24. Because it's fiction. And...
But it's also Kiefer Sutherland. He's just so charming that people are like... tell you anything, buddy.
Exactly.
Dreamy eyes.
I'm just saying...
and that hot poker.
I understand where people might find it kind of irresponsible. That said, and I would have been much happier had it been white supremacists.
of course you would.
Because fuck those guys. But this was so good. This is just exactly what 24 does. It was good in the right ways. It was ridiculous in the right ways. This is what I love about the world of 24. When Jack Bauer in Live Another Day... was like he needed to get into whatever he was getting into. He didn't like create a disguise and sneak in. He shot a protester in the leg and yelled, "He's got a gun." That's how you do it. When Jack Bauer in like season two needed to delay the hijacker, he didn't go in and make a mess. He held up the liquor store where the hijacker was.
Yeah.
Like you always do the most ridiculous thing. So when Miranda Otto, I think is the boss on here. Yeah, Miranda Otto playing Rebecca Ingram, the ex CTU head, is running a background op for Corey Hawkins, Eric Carter, and her new boss Zoom comes in.
Zoom
and. and he sees what's going on. He's like, "What's going on?" You don't try to explain it. You just tase him.
I love that too. I was like, "That's a perfect."
Being a first time 24 viewer, that did find that a little alarming.
Yeah. No, that's 24.
My favorite part of the whole episode when Corey Hawkins he shoots that the giant whatever thing and it starts rolling down the hill. And that one guy sees it rolling for fucking ever.
Yep. And he still,
got rolled over by it. I was like, that's
what I love is that was a video game. That's like one of those video game moments. Like you look around and little X flashes. So you're supposed to shoot the thing and let the thing roll at him. It's ridiculous. And I love it.
It was just dumb fun.
I'll tell you the other thing I kind of liked was that Corey Hawkins' wife, who's played by Anna Dlupp, possibly. She gets a gun out and saves his ass, basically.
Can I tell you?
She wasn't just damsel in distress. However, I'm going to go back. It also indicates another great right-wing talking point, which is if you have a gun in your house, you can save yourself from terrorists.
That's how it works, I think.
Is that how it works? At least they had a gun safe.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't laying around loaded.
My big gripe with this episode is that it starts at, like, this episode takes place from 12 o'clock noon to 1 o'clock p.m., and in the very opening sequence, it starts with them showing breakfast being out on plates and this family being held hostage. I'm like, shit, have they been held hostage for like the past 3-4 hours? That's a long time. because presumably one eats breakfast at breakfast time.
Not me.
Especially if it's a wholesome family that's being murdered or whatever. And then they cut over to, at this exact same time, Corey Hawkins and his wife are chilling at their house and they're getting ready for work. And he's like, "Do you want me to make you breakfast?" So obviously it's breakfast time. They shot this thinking it was supposed to be a certain other time. And then all of a sudden, like last minute, they must've changed the times on the episode because however they're shooting.
She's a nurse. Nurses have off hours.
Well, they also have some thing with like kids going to school or whatever.
Yeah.
And like,
oh yeah, that's true.
And like, that morning meeting, like everything's like taking place at the beginning of the day.
You know what's funny? I didn't notice it, but once you said it, I'm like, yeah, they definitely moved it.
It bugs me.
It's probably like 3 hours off. They must have adjusted for some reason.
Maybe the effects guy fucked up.
Yeah, because the whole thing was actually supposed
to be 8 a.m. Nothing we can do now.
There's also the high school plot line, which that plot needs a cougar. I think an actual cougar needs to run down the hallways of that high school because that plot cougar. Belongs. That plot is ridiculous. It doesn't belong. And
it just slows everything down.
Yeah. But Jimmy Smith's playing like a senator who is who happens to have his ex-wife was running CTU. I like that plot.
Yep. Who will not cast him in their show?
Oh, yeah.
Seriously.
Jimmy Smith. Everything.
And everything.
But I love this. Like I say, I'm a big 24 fan. I used to get when Live Another Day came on, the miniseries that sort of brought it back. I got together with some of my friends and we watched it together as like a group thing. And we enjoyed it on the same level of the holy shit, that's awesome. Holy shit, that's ridiculous.
Yep. It's a ridiculous show.
I ran a role playing game for 24 at one point, a custom RPG.
Well, that's
so
ridiculous.
Like I am a true fan of this show.
Hell yeah.
And this is kind of what I wanted it to be. I'm a little nervous, like I say, about some of the cultural messages it might be sending, but It's 24. It does its thing by formula, and it does it well.
I gotta say, for some of the, coming with kind of a design background, some of the sharpest design titles. Yeah. That new logo and like all the different treatments they have for it. Really like that look.
Yeah, by the way, Kyle, I want to go ahead and give you a heads up on 24. What you expect this season?
All right.
There's at least three or four bad guys to be revealed.
That's what I was saying the whole first episode. Yeah. I was like, she's bad guy. She's bad guy.
Well, and then the plot. The plot we're just seeing right now, this whole thing about the knock list or whatever it is, you know, it's
irrelevant.
It will have nothing to do with the actual final story. It will be this is all a big red herring. There'll be at least three red herrings. There's at least two traitors.
All right.
One of them is going to be really close to him.
Yeah. There's at least
not including his friend who's already blackmailing him.
Right.
Miranda Otto is going to betray him.
There's at least one person who is going to appear to be a traitor and then will be revealed to be a patriot.
Ooh, I bet that's the new director.
Yeah, I'm thinking. I'm thinking the new director is going to be revealed to be the good guy. And let's see, what else am I missing? Amnesia. There'll be amnesia.
Oh, great.
Actually, that was just the first season. There will be the one thing. There's always one thing that pushes your suspension of belief beyond where you can go. Like the first season, there was an amnesia plot. The second season, there was a cougar and a crazy survivalist. The third season, I don't remember. But there's always something where you're like, okay, now you lost me.
Can I ask you guys a question? And maybe I'm overthinking this, but the whole story where his brother's a drug dealer and he like came from the streets.
Yeah.
Didn't that seem a little right-wing to you guys?
Again, everything in here feels like right-wing fantasy world. Yeah. But if you're in a writer's room, you're like, what if his brother runs like a drug organization and that's where he goes for protection and he stole his wife away from his brother and the brother's new girlfriend doesn't like it. And then we can do all this plot line. I mean, as a writer, the plotting, like it's a perfect setting. I get where they did it.
That's pretty true. Yeah.
But yes, it is like everything else. This is right-wing fantasy world.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. I definitely got to check out the second episode. All right, guys. Last show that we want to discuss over on Netflix. Once again, they dropped the show. They just do this nonstop. It's a barrage of great shows. And this one is an interesting one, the Santa Clarita Diet. Uh-huh. This has Timothy Olyphant and Drew Barrymore. Drew Barrymore becomes a zombie for all intents and purposes.
Yep.
And they are living this, you know, California suburban life as realtors. Realtors.
Realtors.
You realtors. Don't like that.
No one says that.
This is...
Actually, I guess they do.
10 episodes... 30 minutes each, and that first episode, it was a little rough, actually. It took a couple episodes before I really kind of got into it.
I agree. By the way, all 10 episodes written by Victor Fresco, who created Better Off Ted.
Ah, okay.
But yeah, you're right. It's kind of a rough start. It's not terrible, but it was definitely this isn't as good as the trailers made it look.
You know what the rough start is?
What?
Drew Barrymore.
That's what everybody says. I love Drew Barrymore. I thought she was great here.
She was terrible for like two or three episodes in the beginning, like getting her bearings of what she wanted to be. Hmm. Once she finally gets it, she's pretty good and she's kind of gelling with it. But Oliphant was fantastic throughout.
The beginning of the show is like if Dexter, instead of the pilot starting you in the action where you know what's going on.
Right.
The pilot tried to explain how he got from, you know, being a kid to there.
Yeah.
Like, they go, they could have just started the show just you're in the middle of the action. She's eating people. Yeah. They're having to figure it out. And then you go back and you kind of explain, you know, what happened later on.
I agree. I agree.
I like that it started where it did, because the other aspect of this is the nonstop energy of crazy shit happening each day.
Yeah.
And
good how domino
it starts,
effect.
Yeah. How it starts really taking a toll on him. He's just like, can't handle that this is happening. And he's just like how Oliphant plays it, like with him having an emotional break, but like still just trying to be all positive and up with everything, is so good.
Yeah. I, at first I thought Oliphant was overplaying. And I was like, wow, it's like he's lost his comedy chops a little bit. And then I realized, no, this is the speed he's going at, and it's the correct speed.
Yeah.
It took me a while. And then later on, when he's just like in full-on manic mode, is this, he's like, I can't believe all this shit
it
is
makes
happening to
more
me.
More sense then.
It's even better. I'm like, yeah. And he's great here. He is really, really good. By the way, but the kids.
Yes.
Liv, I was gonna say. Liv Hewson, who is the actress who plays the daughter, and she's fantastic. She's like sarcastic and funny, but kind of, you know, she's fucked up by all this because her mom died and became a zombie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then her next door neighbor, played by Skylar Gazondo, you might know from Amazing Spider-Man and The New Vacation, apparently.
Ah.
He is so great because he could have been the nerdy cliche, just pining after her. And instead, he is that, but he's got more to him than that.
He's like the nerdy cliche, but he's got some balls to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It, the wit and the dialogue in here, it's all just rapid fire and like all the extras, like, or the side characters, like the neighbors are fantastic. Thomas Lennon, of course, is
Mary Elizabeth Ellis.
Yeah.
The waitress from Always Sunny.
The waitress.
She's great here playing the sort of sex starved mom of the shitty ex, shitty new husband.
And the dickhead stepdad the cop, his cop buddy.
I love that guy.
Love it.
Yeah, this is really good, and there are some little bits like Patton Oswalt has an episode. Mm-hmm. Natalie Morales is in there.
Is that the best friend from Trophy Wife?
Yes.
Yeah.
She was also on The Middleman.
Ah.
Portia de Rossi from Better Off Ted showing up playing a weird ass scientist was just super fun. The thing that's reminding me of this does remind me of iZombie. Because that did the same thing. It was like a zombie. How does a zombie get along in the world? But I actually like iZombie a little bit better, but it's had 3 seasons to develop and it's got Rob Thomas behind it. So this is a different, this reminded me a little bit of Weeds in tone. Good Weeds, like the early Weeds.
Yeah.
When it's like, it was sort of wacky and things kept escalating and you didn't know how they were going to get out of it. And I liked that.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate the contrast of the bright color palette and like everything just feeling fresh and vibrant, and then in contrast, the blood and gore kind of fucked up in this of like what's going on.
I thought early on that they were going to go too far with the gore and the blood and the vomit because I was like, oh, man, this may be too much to be funny. But I think they dialed it back a little bit after a couple episodes and still kept it.
Oh man, I mean him in the bathtub, the guy, yes. It's just like, oh.
But then there's that great moment where she like finds the toe. And she's like, oh, I got to be more careful. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That was great. They kept going forward with it.
I mean, that was the thing I couldn't really move past being weirded out by. I was like, they're really like humping like bunnies here. But like, she's dead. She's been eating someone. I would kiss that. Like, it's like my whole like germaphobe thing was like amped up to 10 just thinking about their sexual relationship. Like, no.
Is she gonna have like guts breath? You know, she's got the right in a body.
Yeah, guts breath.
You know, it's an interesting allegory because you know here they're in this nice house, nice neighborhood. They're realtors. They sell the niceness. You know, like that's their life. And that was the thing about Weeds is here you got this perfect life.
Yeah.
But then the show goes into, well, what do you have to do to keep it, you know? And it's not, you know, on a crazy workout plan or diet to make yourself look supermodel skinny so your stockbroker husband, you know, doesn't divorce you for the tennis coach because you got all this rich. No, it's their problems are she's got to eat people and they got to find bodies for her to eat.
But I also the relationship between the two of them and their daughter is so good. Mm-hmm. Like the episode where she tries to bomb with her daughter at the at the storage unit was great. The episode early on where Joel, played by Oliphant, where they're like, they're talking about her mom and how different she is. And she says this line. It's just heartbreaking. She's like, did mom die when mom died? And that was such a great line. I was like, oh my God, this kid who's like sarcastic and has this her defenses up, she's going through some shit internally and she's playing that.
Like right when they're up on the hill and he's like, what the fuck is going on? She's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, and you also, you see the traits that she gets from her mom because she's kind of says whatever's on her mind, kind of like the Drew Barrymore character. Yeah. But then she has those breakdowns, just like Timothy Oliphant's character. Like she really does play their daughter very well.
Yeah, it's great. This was really good, and it gets better and better as it goes along. Because I've seen several people who checked the first episode and checked out, but I do think it requires a little bit of getting started.
I am grateful to you that you, when you emailed about us watching this show, you said stick with it.
Yeah,
because I had watched that first episode and I was like,
it's okay.
I got to the vomit scene.
Hokey.
Yeah,
and that's when I sent you guys that email. Fuck this show! Is there any reason to keep watching?
Oh, really? Because when she starts vomiting.
Yeah,
I found a good timed vomit always gets me. It always gets me.
We're learning some things about Grant here. He won't sleep with zombies, but he does love vomit.
I love someone vomiting right when they're trying to give a speech about something.
I'm not crazy about a room full of vomit, but I would have sex with zombie Drew Barrymore.
I'm not a big fan of the Drew Barrymore. Zombies. Either. I don't know. Hey.
Like, that was the bar. No, not Drew Barrymore. No. Other zombies, sure.
All right, guys. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up there. That's why I remind you guys, if you guys want to help us out, you can go check us out at the iTunes store. You can also give us a 5-star rating and write a little review there. If you guys want to help us out over on Patreon, go to patreon.com/TVDudes.
And Riverdance. Don't forget Riverdance.
And do not forget Riverdance. We cannot emphasize this enough. We could. We probably emphasize it too much. Well, don't Riverdance, guys. All right. Until next week.
TV Dudes out.
The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast and a member of the Permanent Record Podcast Network. We are exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, please go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and Twitter at TV Dudes and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com and permanentrcrd.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.